I'm thrilled you are here. If you came in, you noticed there were some areas roped off in the back, but it didn't do any good because some of you are sitting back there anyway, but that's okay. Tuesday night, we hosted the two middle schools, Spring Branch and Smithson Valley Middle School. They did their Christmas choir concerts here, and so we put up all the extra chairs in the back, and we normally put those up for Christmas Eve, the service right before Christmas and Christmas Eve, because we just packed the place out. Last year, I think we had standing room only. So they put them all up for the choir concert, and we left them up rather than taking them down and having to put them up again in a couple of weeks. So try to break your habit of sitting on the back row. Just because it's there doesn't mean you got to sit there, but it's okay. We're not going to point you out. Although I just did, didn't I? So I'm sorry. Forgive me. Open your Bible to John chapter 1, John 1. Glad you are here today. This is the second in our series called Jesus Is. This is going to take us all the way up to the Disciple Now weekend, and I hope you'll stick with us. We told you last week that for the first 4 weeks, for all of December, we're focusing on just one topic of what Jesus is, that Jesus is light. I mean, there is so much. There are so many topics that we could put under Jesus Is, that it'd take us a lifetime to talk about all of them, but we're not going to take that lifetime. We will have all of eternity to think about all that Jesus is. But last week we talked about the fact that he is light. He is the light of the world. He came to be that light. And verse 5 says, it is the light that cannot be overcome by darkness. And though darkness is creeping in all around us, we know that the light that came, the light that shines in darkness, cannot be overtaken. Now, I want to draw your attention to something. So you've got to have your Bible open. I don't know that we're going to have this on the screen, but you open your Bible and look at verse number 5. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then jump down to verse number 9, and it says, the true light which gives light to everyone is coming into the world. Now, that's a pretty smooth flow, isn't it? From verse 5 and jumping right down to verse number 9, kind of the natural flow. But if you look at verse 6, it's like, if I know I'm not the Holy Spirit and I'm not God, but it's like the Holy Spirit made a mistake and jumped off of the topic of Jesus' light to start talking about some guy named John. Listen to what he says. Verse 5, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Oh, by the way, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, that doesn't seem to flow, does it? I mean, it would have been better if it was me writing it. I would have gone verse 5, light is not overcome in darkness, and then jumped to verse 9, the true light which gives light to everyone has come into the world, because that's a good flow. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit interrupted. And by the way, in your bulletin, it says interpreting the light. It should be interrupting the light, not interpreting. And that could be my problem because my spelling is horrible. And I may have, by mistake, put that in there. Interrupting the light. You ever been interrupted? You ever been trying to tell a story and somebody interrupts you? How many of you men have ever been trying to tell a story and your wife picks up and tries to finish the story? Has that ever happened to you? I saw every wife nudge their husband. Don't you dare raise your hand. It's happened to Charlotte and I. I can talk about her today. She's home not feeling well. She's ill. But everybody text her and tell her that I used her as an illustration, okay? I'll be starting to tell something, and then she'll jump in and say, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I'll say, you want to tell the story? Oh, no, go right ahead. You tell it. And so I start again, and she starts in. I said, why don't you just finish the story? You don't like to get interrupted if you're trying to get a point across. And I know the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. I know God knows what he's doing by putting this in there. But to me, it just kind of struck me as a little strange. Why start talking about John in the middle of this theological, this incredible theological truth that Jesus is the light of the world that cannot be overtaken by darkness? By the way, John is never called John the Baptist in the book of John. He's just called John. Well, if you look at verse 6 and 7, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe in him. And he was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. John came as a witness to bear witness about the light. 14 times in the book of John, the word witness is attached to John the Baptist. 14 times we're reminded that John was a witness of something. In fact, you look down to verse number 15, it says down there, John bore witness about him and cried out. So there again, just in that same chapter, just a few verses down, we're reminded again that John was a witness to something. Now, a witness is somebody who describes what he has seen. If you were standing on a street corner and you saw an accident take place or a robbery take place, the police may say, well, what did you see? And you would testify or give witness to what you saw or what you experienced at that particular time. So John is a witness. Now, last week we told you that John chapter 20 and verse 31, toward the end of the book, the writer John, the apostle John, tells us why he wrote John. The Bible says in chapter 20, verse 31, he said, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing that you may have life in his name. That's why John wrote the book of John. So that you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in believing in that, pardon me, you have eternal life. You have life in his name. So that's why it was written. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, he says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, he said, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, believes in God, you hear the word and you believe you have eternal life, does not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life. So the whole point of understanding who Jesus is to believe in him, and in believing in him, you are passed from death unto life. You have life, and you have it more abundantly. So these verses, though they appear to be an interruption in the theological truth that Jesus is the light of the world, and he is the light that has come into this dark world, he is the light that cannot be overcome by darkness, in the middle of that theological teaching, we find an interruption of three verses that are picked up, and then the theology is picked up in verse number 9. But these three verses are about being a witness to the light, a witness about the light. And though these three verses may appear to be about John the Baptist, they're really not. They're about us and us spreading the light that Jesus is. So let's take a look at this and take this interruption in the theology of the truth that Jesus is light, and find out why the Holy Spirit put it there. Everything in the Bible is there for a reason. First of all, I want you to notice why this witness is so important. What is so important about this witness? Well, let's unpack this a little bit at a time. Let's just dig into verse number 6. There was a man. Let's just stop right there. There was a man. Now, that seems a little bit ridiculous to put this statement in there when he's been talking about Jesus who is the light, but there was a man. There's several things about this. Several things here that we can draw our attention to. Number one, whoever he's talking about is a human. It's a man. It's not God. It's not an angel. It is talking about a man. Now, the verses just before were talking about Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. We go on down through those verses we looked at last week, those first four verses where it says that Jesus is the light. He is the Christ. He is the Word. He's the Creator. He is God. He is equal with God. He's life. He is the light of the world that cannot... All those theological truths about Jesus Christ. Now, why would God choose a man to be a witness of this truth of who Jesus is? I mean, why not? I mean, he's God. Why not just use his sovereign power and declare to the world who he is? Why a man? I mean, you think about this. God could, every morning, he could clear the sky of all the clouds, have a perfectly blue canvas, and with his finger, maybe in the form of clouds, write the gospel of who Jesus is in the sky so everybody around the world could see it. He could do that. I mean, he could take the wind, and he could have the wind whistle through the trees and blow across the prairies in such a way that the sound that it would make would be his voice telling people that Jesus is the light. He could do that. He could take angels. I mean, I don't know how many angels he's got. I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of them, maybe millions, who knows? But he could take angels and send an angel to every door in the world, to every hut in the world, to every village in the world, and personally, one-on-one, have an angel declare to those individuals who he was. I mean, he could do it any way that he wanted to do it, but he didn't. He chose a man. These things, John 20:31 says, he says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in believing in him, you may have life. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. It's his great, what we call his great intercessory prayer. And he's praying. He says, God, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you would take care of them while they're in the world. And then when he gets down to chapter 17, verse number 20, he says, I'm praying also for those who will believe through their word. In other words, he says, I'm praying for all those people who are going to hear the word by those who already believe the word. I'm praying for those who hear the word, then will believe. We don't know how many people are out there that are going to hear the word and believe, but Christ was praying specifically for them. And man is the witness that God chose to witness the light. A man, a person, a human being, you. That's who he chose to bear witness. A man to bear witness of the light, to share what you know about the light, to share what the light has done in your life. You know, there's a lot of things people will argue with you about. They'll argue that the Bible is not the word of God. They'll argue with you about heaven and hell. They'll argue with you about angels. They'll argue with you about sin, nature. They'll argue about whether you can drink or smoke or go to a movie. They'll argue with you about all kinds of stuff, but there's one thing they cannot argue with you about. What difference the light has made in your life. Your witness about the light, because it's your life. They can't argue with that. And that's all John is doing. He is witnessing what he knows about the light. John's not using the Romans Road plan of salvation. He's not using evangelism explosion. He hasn't drawn the picture of the bridge. He hasn't used the bridge example. What he is doing is telling people, I am witness of the light. Second thing about this, look at the verse. There was a man. So it was just a human being. This is not some angel, some miraculous event. This is a man who is sent from God. Sent from God. This is a God thing. This isn't John's idea. You know, the Quran was written by a man to support his views. The Mormons were started by Joseph Smith, and he wrote the book to the Book of Mormon to support his own personal views. Hindus, Buddhists, all other religions were written to support a man's idea. Not here. This says, I chose a man, but he was sent from God. We need to be alert to God's call on our life. We need to listen to what other people have to say, and we need to be ready to speak. When Jesus comes to the end of his life in John chapter 20, all the way down and toward the end of the book of John, he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. God is a sending God. God is a God who has sent people out. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. When God was talking to Isaiah the prophet, and he's talking about all the things that need to be done, and he says, who will go for me? Whom will I send, and who will go for me? And Isaiah jumps up and raises his hand. He says, here am I, send me. I'm ready to go, send me. I used to think that in order to be sent by God, you either had to be a preacher or be a missionary. Well, I wasn't real excited about either one of those, but yet God began working in my life. And when I was in eighth grade, I went to a camp, Christian camp. And at that Christian camp, I surrendered my life to full-time service for the Lord. Now, I know we're all full-time service of the Lord, but I'm talking about serving in a position as your job or whatever you want to call it. And I didn't want to be a missionary because I didn't want to go to a sweaty jungle and have to talk to cannibals that are going to eat me alive. That didn't appeal to me at all as an eighth grader. I really didn't want to stand up and talk in front of people because I was very shy, very timid. And I know it's hard for you to believe, isn't it? I was very shy and very timid and an introvert. I knew I couldn't get up and stand in front of people. Well, the only thing else I knew was youth ministry. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. That's a whole lot more fun than preaching. you know, being a youth minister, and a whole lot more fun than going to the jungles of wherever and getting eaten by mosquitoes. So I told everybody, I'm going to be a youth pastor. And I started working with children's ministry and youth ministry and all of that. You know what happened? I worked all the way through college with that idea. I went through seminary, 2 years of seminary, with the idea that that's what I was going to do. And God shut that door, slammed the door, and at 23 years of age, graduated just from seminary, he put me in a church as a pastor. Last thing in the world I ever wanted to do. And that's what I've done for the last 47 years. But I've enjoyed every minute of it. I was scared to death. So God's call is going to be different for you. Not, God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. He doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. He doesn't call everybody to be a youth minister. But he calls everybody. John was none of those things. John was just a voice crying in the wilderness. There was a man, and he was sent from God. God has called you to bear witness of the light. Verse 7. He said, look on down, let's see what it says. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He came to bear witness of the light for one reason, so that people could believe in Jesus. You see, witness about the light is so important that without the witness about the light, there is no belief in who Jesus was. So they move from believing in the light to witnessing of the light so other people can believe in the light. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. People don't just mystically become a believer in Jesus Christ because they're breathing the air that God created. They become a believer in Christ because someone has borne witness of the light. Someone has shared the gospel with them. I want you to notice something, that this is the very first mention of believing in the book of John, but it appears 97 more times in the book. But this is the first place it says he bears witness so that people will believe. Without the witness, there is no belief. Without someone sharing the gospel with other people, there is no belief. That's how important this man's witness was. Let me rephrase that. That's how important your witness is. Because without your witness, people don't believe. So let's go on down to verse number 8. Let me show you what this witness is not, okay? Let me show you what it isn't. Look at verse 8. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. He was not the light. And you say, well, duh, of course he wasn't the light. That was Jesus. That was God. Why does it even have to be stated? I mean, it's already been stated that Jesus was the light. It's pretty obvious that John wouldn't be the light if Jesus is already the light. So why is it repeated? Well, good question. It's even repeated back down in verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed. He didn't deny, but he confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they said, well, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, nope. He said, are you a prophet? Nope. Well, tell us who you are, because the people who sent us want to know. He said, well, the one thing I am not the light. I'm not Elijah, not a prophet, but I'm not a light. Verse 25, verse 26, if you look down there, it says, John answered them. He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. He says, I'm not the light, and I'm not worthy to even untie the light's shoe. I'm not even worthy to bend over, to stoop down and untie his shoestring. I am not, and I am not worthy. John says, I'm not the light, I'm not Christ, I'm not Elijah, I'm not a prophet. I am nothing but a voice crying in the wilderness. Turn over to John chapter 3 real quick. Look at verse 28. John says this, the scripture says this, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase and I must decrease. I'm not the bridegroom. He said, the bridegroom is the one who has the bride. That's Jesus Christ. And he says, my joy is fulfilled when he increases and I decrease. Let me tell you something. The witness that we're called to bear is not about us. It's not about the Romans Road. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you don't know. It is all about Jesus. It is, the witness is not, I know some of you may want to fire me. The witness is not about our church. It's not about Bull Verde Baptist Church. I think this is a great church, and I hope you talk it up. I hope you tell people how much you love it and how wonderful the music is and how awesome the preacher, how great everything is. I hope you do that. I want you to tell people that, but the witness is not about Bull Verde Baptist Church. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about Jesus. I get really irritated at preachers, TV preachers especially, who build themselves up and promote their church, the ministries that exalt themselves. It's not about how big a ministry is. It's not about how much money we have. It's not about how many programs we got. It's not about how many books the pastor has written. It's not about how many podcasts and how many people follow him on Facebook and podcast. That's not what it is about. And if that's what we think makes us successful, then we've missed the whole point. The point is, we're here to bear witness of the light. And the light is not Bull Verde Baptist Church. Now, I hope that our witness as a church is about the light, but that's not what it's all about. We are to make much of him. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. If I'm planting a seed or I'm watering a seed, I'm nothing. If our ministries plant seeds or water seeds, that's nothing. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. God did not call us to bear witness about Bull Verde Baptist Church. He called us to bear witness about Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5, he said, what we proclaim is not about ourselves, but about Jesus Christ the Lord. Paul said, when I come to you, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about what I'm doing. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And we've gotten so caught up in the marketing mentality and the consumer mentality in our society that we talk about, we have got to promote our church. We have got to market our church. We have got to brand our church. No, we've got to witness about the light. That's what we've got to do. Marketing is good. And we need to get the name of our church out there every way we can. And if you're calling branding our logo or whatever, that's fine, that's good. But that is not the main thing. That's not what's going to bring people to believe in Jesus Christ. It's the witness about the light. And I think that's why this passage about Jesus, this theological passage about Jesus being the light, I think that's why it was interrupted by this phrase, there was a man, his name was John. Don't get so caught up in the other things that we forget it's not about our organization, but it's about Jesus Christ. We ought to be making much of him. We ought to be promoting him every time we have a chance, every chance we turn around, everything that we say, everything that we do. When you talk about our church, talk about the light that has made a difference in the lives of the people in our church. When you talk about our children's ministry or our youth ministry or our senior adults or whatever you talk about, when you talk about those things about Bull Verde Baptist, talk about the light, Jesus. Because he is the one that we have been called to bear witness of. So, clear up your confusion. Clear up my own confusion here, okay? God starts out, the Holy Spirit starts out with all of this theological truth that the light shines in darkness and darkness has not overtaken it. Verse 9 picks that up. The true light which gives light to everyone has come. But three verses in the middle of this great scriptural truth about the light of the world is the interruption that says, guys, your job is to be like the man sent from God whose name was John to bear witness of the light. Understanding Jesus is the light, believing that he is the light, brings you eternal life. Witnessing, bearing witness of that light, brings belief to others. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.